All right, this show brought to you in part by SimpliSafe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Just go to simplisafe.com/Adam, get all the sensors you need, all the help you need as well to set it up. Custom systems going to show up post-haste at simplisafe.com/Adam. Well, at the top of the show, Chris and I are going to talk about some familiar subjects if you listen to the show, but then Kathy Griffin comes in and tells us everything that's happened in her life, and what a tale she weaves. Very interesting stuff. She was great, so you're going to want to listen to that. We'll do that right after this.
I say, because if I do die, I'm gonna ask the Lord, let me haunt you.
We so often hear about those that don't make it out of danger alive, but what about those that do?
My body got warm and it just said, get up. You're not done, get up.
I'm Caitlin Van Maul, back with a brand new season of I Survived.
The more I begged him, the happier and the more excited he got.
Join me for new episodes of I Survived every Monday, and subscribe now wherever you listen to podcasts.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Kathy Griffin. And we'll go over some trending news stories with Chris Loxamana. And now, the Nostradamus of North Hollywood, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice. We're going to mandate you. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Chris Maxfat is starting out in the studio. Kathy Griffin's coming in. We'll do some trending topics, maybe a little news, and then we'll talk to Kathy Griffin. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I'm excited to have her on. I don't think she's ever been on the podcast.
Has she never been on the podcast?
I can't recall. And I think a lot of people are surprised that you two are going to get together and talk in a room.
I don't know. I've always liked Kathy. I've always been good with Kathy. I don't know if there's some thing that happened with me and Kathy. If there is, I'm kind of unaware of it, but we'll figure it out when she comes in. I ran into her at Kimmel's 20-year anniversary party. We had a nice hug, and she was on Loveline. Yeah, she'd never been on this podcast. Wow. I guess. We'll figure it out.
Didn't she show up to the very final Loveline when you hosted? Was that her?
I could have been.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. It's all just a crazed memory now. I was having a moment the other day. I was trying to get to the Beverly Wilshire for Byron Allen's party. Traveled through us, had the world's slowest Uber driver, which is always painful.
You never get the fastest.
Never get the fastest.
I don't know what's wrong with you?
But was driving and cutting it tight. Didn't want to miss the beginning monologue of the Oscars. Hit a sort of forever red arrow, the kind where even though the signal's green, it still has to cycle. It's got to go yellow, red, and then all the other traffic. And just couldn't see anybody in front of us. There's nothing. And then,
timers don't work anymore. Just get rid of the timers. They're all sensors.
Made a left, traveled 200 yards, hit another red arrow, and the same thing in Beverly Hills to cycle. Had to cycle. Like, it was red. Signal was green for 10 minutes. No cars anywhere. I, of course, would have driven through it a million times. And then I was thinking back to Henderson. I was in Henderson, Nevada. And I was looking around. I was driving all around Henderson, just looking at real estate, trying to get the lay of the land over there. Henderson has parts of it that have the blinking yellow. And you may just turn when it blinks yellow. You could make the red blink, too. You could do it. And we could all just turn. And then there's another part of Henderson that has just the red arrow again. And I was like, I cannot live in this part, but I have to live in the part with the blinking arrow. And I know everyone's heard it all. They're tired of it and whatever. There's a couple of elements. It is the biggest fucking waste of time ever. And I don't get it. But what I really don't get is nobody gives a shit but me about it. Nobody. Nobody has thoughts. Nobody. Everyone just... I was like looking at the looking at the tripometer there on the Uber to the Oscar party. It's like Oscar started five straight up. It is 4:47, and it says we're going to arrive at 4:54. You know, and we're just sitting there, and like I'm crawling out of my skin, two arrows in a row, and everyone just sits and they just look at it, and it's like there's nobody coming. The light is green. What are we doing? And the answer is just everyone's thing is like, there's two answers. There's, look, I don't know. Arrow's red. That's one. And the other is, I have no idea what we're talking about. Like, what do you mean? I was like, the arrow's red. Yeah. And so what? It's for traffic or something. It's like, it didn't exist in the intersection before this. You just turn. I realize I go nuts. I realize nobody shares my disdain for this. It's less about time and more about just how fucking stupid we are. Who invented this? We live in the worst traffic. All these places have horrible traffic. What are we doing? It's backing up into the left lane, the left turn or not. It's like, I just want to know what the fuck is going on. It is the exact same thing I felt about, you know, mask up in between bites. What are we doing? Why are we going along with this? How can this work? It doesn't work. It doesn't do anything. It serves no function whatsoever. And we're just sitting there and I'm watching the time tick away and I'm like, I want to catch the monologue. And I'm like, but then I realized like I am dramatically impacted by this, on a cosmic level. It's a cosmic thing. It's not the extra minute and 10 seconds. It's cosmically. What are we doing? It's like we have a garage that has a covered garage and we got a truck filled with 10 sheets of drywall in the back of it, and we just choose to park outside while it rains. Like, we could just do this. We could just fix it. We could just open the garage and go into the garage. No problemo. It's like, no, we're going to park it outside. Yeah. We're going to ruin the drywall. That's what we're doing. And I cannot get it. No one brings it up. It's never discussed.
Well, there's a couple things to unpack here. All right. So, first off, you telling your Uber driver from the back seat to break the law during their job, like, which is their livelihood. No, they're not going to listen to you. Come on.
No.
It's akin to, like, when you're a bartender and people would try to order drinks and, I forgot my ID, but, you know, you can see I have facial hair. I'm over 21. They probably work for the ABC and are trying to bust your bar.
Right.
So, no, they're not going to risk that. What you have to do...
I'm definitely a plant.
That's what I'm saying. You could easily be a plant. Now, what you could do is, I mean, it's going to cost you some money, but offer money. Hey, $20 if you run this red light.
I bet it would change the second they lurched out.
With your luck. Also, number two, Henderson, Nevada. Mm. So I can already name three celebrities or prominent people who live there. You have the aforementioned Pete Brock. I've been to his house.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mike Tyson's out there.
Yeah.
And Brian Regan.
Penn and Teller's out there.
So how does your realtor react when you're like, oh, I need X number of square feet, a pool would be nice, and blinking yellows?
Henderson is not cheap anymore because people have caught on to moving out of California. I forgot that Penn had his compound in the desert that I went and visited, but I forgot that he drove a tank through it. And, you know, he invented a hot tub that he had there that had a special spraying nozzle for the ladies. Did I ever tell you that?
I didn't know that. What happened?
Oh, yeah. He had a hot tub that he...
It can be a number of things.
Well, his house was crazy because he's got a bunch of money and he has a vivid imagination. And he invented... I don't know if he patented it. I don't know. It's a basically
for him.
Clitoral stimulation jet, which is in the tub, in the hot tub that he invented. That was his thing.
Now, so if you're going out with Pat and you go over to his house, you sit in his hot tub, and things are going well. Do you think he turns it on without telling you, or he'll go, "Hey, check this out," kind of thing? How does he activate this nozzle?
The clapper. He does.
Platinum.
Clap That's on. The glitter. clap on, clap off. He patented a hydrotherapeutic stimulator, which is in the tub, strategically placed the jets to experience a bit more enjoyable, make it more enjoyable for the female bathers. Yes, this is what he invented.
So
anyway,
people think his legacy is magic, but no.
No. So he took a tank through his home, destroyed it, and then just moved to a double-gated community in Henderson. He's like, fuck it. Just I'm joining.
Made his house disappear.
You get a little bit older, and all that, you know, gated community stuff, it starts to look pretty attractive at a certain point, especially when you're getting your catalytic converter stolen by a gang member out front of your house. The double-gated... I would love to see how many catalytic converters have been stolen from gated communities. I'm going
That's a stat I want
somewhere
to.
Between zero and fucking zero. So you get a little older and you kind of go, So just trotting around. But I notice a lot of arrows, and I could only live in the Henderson part that has the blinking yellow. And it seems that we could convert many of these. I mean, it's 4:30 Beverly Hills on a Sunday. There is nobody. The Oscars is coming. Nobody's on the street. It's just sitting there waiting to get carjacked. All right. Drives me nuts. Man. I know it doesn't drive you all nuts. I wish it would. I wish it drove everyone as nuts as it drives me.
Do you have, speaking of the Oscars, do you have any jokes that you remember?
I told you I was going to do my Tom Cruise. I got like 7 or 8 Tom Cruise jokes here that I handed into Jimmy. But Tom, the setup is Tom Cruise, let's see, certain something, blah blah blah, look at this lunatic, he's 60 years old. And then it was, we need a joke for this, because Tom Cruise was supposed to be there, and you always want a cutaway of the guy you're making the joke about. Right. It just gets a better laugh. When we didn't know that Tom Cruise wasn't showing up, I don't know why Tom Cruise didn't show up. But so here they are. One I mentioned before. So we need a joke about him looking so young. I didn't know Interview with a Vampire was a documentary. Great. One. He treats his body. Oh, I just got a text from Natalia. He treats his body like Kanye West treats his career.
Wonderful.
Yes. Let's got a text from Drew too, saying Leo Buscaglia.
Are you going to be careful? You should respond to him right now.
I know. Tom Cruise is 60. That's 3 Leonardo DiCaprio girlfriends.
Great.
Little known fact, Tom has run more in movies than I have in real life.
True.
I think that's true. I think it'd be true for Kimmel.
You always talk about how he's always on a motorcycle, but really, the amount he's sprinted in movies is impressive.
Yeah, the one I mentioned before, Tom Cruise looks like he's 30. Tom Brady looks like he's 20. What's with these Toms? Never aging. Then again, there's Tom Sizemore. You know, maybe I should have thought this one through. Tom Cruise almost looks young enough to date Cher. His first movie was Risky Business, and since he started doing his own stunts, every movie he makes is Risky Business. Nice. I'm 5 years younger than Tom, and I hurt my back watching Maverick. I need a stunt double to play pickleball. Let's see if I can word this one right. He's the AARP-ville Knievel.
You got it.
Never going to work. He looks so young. Instead of dog years, we should be measuring in time years. And one wasn't really worked out that well.
Head bones.
Yeah. And then this rando joke that Mike Lynch wrote. Lots of sequels has nothing to do with Tom Cruise. Lots of sequels nominated. Top Gun Maverick, Avatar The Way of Water, Everything Everywhere All at Once, which of course is the sequel to a couple of things. A Few Places, Every Now and Again.
Love that.
Yeah, it's a funny joke. All right, what the hell did Natalia send? So, do you got some? We got an article.
Yeah, Yeah, you liked this article. Somebody tweeted it to you. It's from the LA Times.
Mm-hmm. And, yes, I did.
Yeah, and Dawson has it. It's a. If we're talking about yellow turn arrows,
sorry, I'm watching. Natalia sent me a. I don't know why.
It sounds like Kimmel.
Oh yeah, it's Kimmel. Oh yeah, Kimmel talking to. I think he was just talking to. Oh God, Ryan Seacrest and Kelly.
Ryan Seacrest. Okay. Yeah,
I think he just sent this. As soon as I walked off the stage, I got right back into reality, which is someone's got to find Natalia and go get her out of the audience or whatever. Jimmy's right back to work.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's what we found. All right. So, yes.
Anyways, yeah. So, keeping with the classics, left turn arrows, let's get into some leaf blower talk.
The reason there's an article, it's an old article, that's 2 years old or whatever it is. There's a reason. The reason I bring this up is because it's sort of germane to where we're at and where we just like sort of pass through. And you can read read the heading on it, Dawson, but then I'll tell you bigger picture what I'm talking about.
California moves toward ban on gas lawnmowers and leaf blowers, from the Los Angeles Times.
Yeah. All right. Now, they then go on to say that there's more pollution that's given these two-stroke engines than there is for, you know, they said somewhere in the article than of cars in general. It's like more, you don't know how dirty a two-stroke engine is. It's just super dirty. So they pour the oil in with the gasoline. It's called two-stroke. They mix it and it just, coming out of the exhaust pipe of that leaf blower is like 10 Ford F-150, like full-size trucks for 5 years. Yeah. You know, it's crazy, right? What I'm talking about is the bigger picture, and it'll relate to many things that many of societal ills, including COVID and stuff like that. When I sat at that brunch in Maui with 9 people and explained to them what the fuck was going on with leaf blowers and how we have a law in California and it's not enforced because it's they don't like the look, the optics of the poor brown people that are working the leaf blowers, and that's why they don't enforce. Every motherfucker at this table just argued with me, looked at me, called me a racist, yeah. Like said I was an asshole.
Enjoy our mimosas
and I was like, I just have this information. Why is it? Why am I the bad guy? Number one. Number two. Why can't you guys ingest information? And then who am I? Like I hate Mexicans. I'm just telling you what's going on. It was like,
but you're delivering bad news.
I argued with the whole. But no. So here's my point. Nobody at that table knew shit about leaf blowers. None of them. None of them had read the article that I read in the LA Times from like 1999. Nobody had any information on this subject whatsoever. They just argued with me for 20 minutes.
Sure.
Now, some of them may have had some information. I don't know. Most of them just gathered up into a mob that was angry at me, calling me racist. They had zero information. They just went with the mob. And all I'm saying is whether it's leaf blowers or COVID, first off, get some fucking information. You're just arguing. You're arguing over masks. You're arguing over vaccines. You're arguing over the social distancing, natural immunity. You fucks don't know shit about any of it.
Yeah,
why are you arguing?
This is completely true on a myriad of subjects.
Yes.
I want to know, do you think that this is nature or nurture? Like
I think it's
urge.
Nature. I think one person at the table may have been sort of the alpha male, like piped up and said this was a racist theory of mine. And then all the underling sheep weaklings at the table just stood behind that person. And then they wanted a little reflective glory, too. Then they started in on it. And then I am considered the pariah of the table and the bad person in this equation. But look, whether it's, you know, ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or masking up in between bites, I am simply giving information. That is all. That is all. I do not represent the city. I don't represent the LA Times. I don't enforce the codes. I'm just passing along information right. that I'm aware of. Why do I need to be punished for knowing these things? And then people's sort of default settings, well, just shut up and talk about something else. Oh, is that what you want? You just want a society where people just go along with fucking false information? Just, we're going to go right along with it. We're just going to shut down outdoor dining. We're going to fucking arrest people paddleboarding in the fucking Santa Monica Bay. That's the society you fucking cowards want. That's the society. You want everyone just to go along with everything all the time based on nothing. Some sort of high school popularity contest we're having or something in Maui. It's fucking nuts.
Well, you're being kind of a Debbie Downer at this brunch. I'm trying to enjoy my quiche here.
It started, and by the way, the goal is to not have these devices that spew out toxic fumes from their exhaust and blow particulates in the air for you and your dog or your child to walk across.
That's absurd how potent that is.
That's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm trying to do. Or not have your two-year-old mask up and be scarred for life on an airplane when you argue with them and then eventually thrown off the flight because the parents can't possibly get to it. That is my goal. My goal isn't to advance a racist cause. My goal is to simply fix a problem. So first off, where am I even coming from? I just happen to have some information here. So we were just talking about leaf blowers.
Quoting text.
Everyone does the thing fires up on a Saturday morning. It wakes me out of my sleep, or I have to walk through the plume. And I was like, you know, it's illegal. They've been illegal in California for 26 years. Like, it is. And then someone goes, well, why don't we enforce it? How come no one's ever? Now I must provide you with an answer that your feeble mind doesn't want to hear.
Yeah. And now we're going to hate you for it.
I will then explain, or geniuses around the table in Maui, you explain to me why there is a code in California that is not enforced in a world where everyone I know has been pulled over for no front license plate. Where we enforce every code all day, every day, all the time. Why not this one? You explain to me, person at the table, enlighten me. How would it happen that these people are just walking up and down streets times a million in suburbia, spraying the leaf blower all over the place, and nobody's ever gotten a ticket or a summons? Why? You tell me. Because we don't like revenue?
They're grandfathered for the city?
No, this is the only feasible explanation, and it's not even my explanation. I just read an article in the Times. God for fucking bid, I have some information. This is a universal thing. It works for everything. And I have no goddamn idea what we're doing in this society. I should have been hailed as a hero of information at that brunch table.
We can't handle hard truths. We can't, as humans.
But what is even hard about it? Maybe it's a good thing. I mean, maybe it's good that the city of Los Angeles isn't enforcing this code, even though we never stop talking about air pollution, but we do not enforce this code. Maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm simply sharing with you why it is. Jesus fucking Christ. The rest of my vacation was ruined. I had to go find the article from 1999 and send it to everybody. This is the article. Well, fuck them. And by the way, so this is how it works. I'm called a pariah.
You're texting them the article.
I'm the pariah, and then you guys just go enjoy Howie Mandel's catamaran. That's not how life works.
Yeah,
it's payback time. So we are going to get rid of these things. We can't simultaneously talk about air pollution. The governor can't talk about air pollution every 10 seconds and not bring up the thing that does the most polluting. Or maybe he can, but sane people couldn't. All right. Kathy Griffin is now here.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Good. I've been wanting to talk to her for a long time. We'll bring her in right after this. Yeah. Simply Safe. My listeners know I recommend Simply Safe, and I'm not the only one. U.S. News and World Report recently named Simply Safe best home security system of 2023. I know Dawson's been on board for a long time, too.
That's right. Just currently updated my system. Got a couple of wireless outdoor cameras as well. They're weatherproof. I've got the perimeter of my house completely covered. So if anybody does try to break in, you got footage right there for the cops of who they are. And SimpliSafe is really less than half the money of all those other major security places. So go with SimpliSafe.
Yeah. Fast Protect technology, capturing video evidence, verifying if the threat is real, then you can prioritize the police dispatch under a buck a day. And you can lock and unlock doors. You can access cameras. It's all there. You can get the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes. Go to SimpliSafe, two eyes, simplisafe.com/Adam. You get the free indoor security camera plus 20% off your order with interactive monitoring at simplisafe.com/Adam.
And now Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Clearwater, Florida. A 44-year-old woman facing drug charges was caught trying to beat a urine test by filling a prescription bottle with soda and tap water and attempting to hide it in her vagina! Definitely not a Jew!
Kathy Griffin in studio. Kathy, just so you guys can be refreshed, has six comedy albums. All have received Grammy Award nominations. First female comedian to debut on the top of Billboard's comedy albums chart. Two Emmys for My Life on the D-List as well. Good to see you, Kathy.
It is great to see you. Can we just talk about that?
Yes.
What just happened for me? Here's what I don't get. The lady who allegedly put a pill bottle with soda pop and something up her vagina.
Mm-hmm.
But the pill bottle, like the pill bottle's small.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure even how much, I'm not sure if it was worth it. What do you think?
You mean smuggling it that way?
There's got to be a better way to get a higher amount, you know? And also, I'd say the possibility of explosions high, you know, high, soda pop.
Yeah,
We've all seen those videos.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering how she's doing. And I feel like, does she have an advocate?
Yeah, well, we should check up on her.
Who wants to hear the story from her vagina?
From the horse's mouth.
Thank you.
How's your health doing?
My health is okay, and I'm so glad to be here because we saw each other at the big Jimmy Kimmel anniversary party, and it was very, very noisy.
Yes.
And so when I try to project, my voice gets like a little bit Minnie Mouse. And so we hadn't seen each other in years, and I'm trying to say, I'm talking like this because I had lung cancer surgery, and then I got injured during the surgery, but I'm fine now. And I just remember after a while, and I kept, you were like, what? And I'm sure it sounded crazy at a party. And after a while, you finally went, okay, I get it. And the funny thing is, Jeff Ross had that exact same reaction. I'm like screaming, trying to say, I have lung cancer. Half of my lung had to be removed. But now I'm cancer-free, but my voice never really came back. So that's why I sound this way.
Yeah. Well, so
it's
good.
It's a lot for a party.
Well, my beef with all these parties is they always get a DJ, they always pump up the jam,
it's
and then
loud.
No one can have a conversation.
Seriously. And I actually wanted to talk to people at that party, people I haven't seen for a while.
Yes.
But it was too much boom boom for me.
No,
too much
a boom small boom. Piece of Kathy's lung hit me in the forehead while she was trying to tell me
I am lucky
she was
to
healthy.
Have any lung left. And then let me tell you something. I don't like discrimination from the two-lunged community. And I feel like that's what I'm suffering from
so
right now.
So what do you have left?
I have 1.5 lungs. I got lung cancer, even though I've never smoked. The tumor was in there for a few years, and they kept looking at it. And then finally they said, okay, it's doubled in size. Then I had a needle biopsy, and it was malignant. And so they said, okay, the best thing to do is to remove half the lung. They can't just remove it.
Oh,
and I then, know.
And then
it's gnarly.
There was issues during the procedure.
Yeah,
how long ago was this?
This was a year and a half ago.
Wow.
And the weird thing is, when I actually had cancer, I felt fine. Mm-hmm. And since the surgery, I feel like I have cancer because I got a bunch of nerve damage on this thing called a vagus nerve and my laryngeal nerve, obviously. So I had to go see like a bunch of specialists before I finally found a surgeon that could even return my voice to this level. So at least I can speak at like sort of a nice low level.
How's performing for you?
Okay, so this is what I'm excited about. I have not done a show at all in 5 years. And so I think it's like seriously a sign that I'm finally like actually uncanceled. So I'm going back to my old gig where I had like a mini residency at the Mirage. Mm-hmm. And it's my first show there in 6 years. And mm-hmm. I'm so excited. And I really want to do like Vegas appropriate material, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'll definitely touch on the cancer to explain why I talk like this. But, and I do, I gasp every so often. Oh, and I have involuntary burps, which I like to think of that I do in Larry King's memory. Because I do miss him.
Would he do that?
Yes. Involuntary farting, which I was privy to myself. So
with Larry.
The urban myth is true. Mm. And I'd heard about it for many interviews, and then finally it happened. And it was so loud, I thought maybe it was like a whoopee cushion, and they were teasing him about it. Mm-hmm. And I turned to the long-time sound woman, and she just nodded her head slowly. And
really?
That, like, oh, it's real. It's real.
It is. Anybody who's had the elderly grandparent or parent and had to sort of help move them in bed or turn them around or get them out of the bed into the wheelchair, whatever, be prepared for some farting.
The risk is very high.
Yes.
And the movement, it is the slightest movement. Larry was just sitting there. He wasn't like shifting around. He was focused. He had the suspenders holding his chest.
Did he react?
In.
Did he make
no
a
reaction no. whatsoever?
He's a pro.
I had to respect it.
So you got canceled. It's been, and I will say this, and I was actually telling Dr. Drew about this, and
who reached out to me, by the way, when I was diagnosed with cancer, which was really, really sweet.
He's a good dude.
He's a good guy. Yeah.
And
for sure.
I've cited it a few times.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually in a radio studio, conservative talk radio studio, filling in for a host. When the story broke, 2017,
that day. It was like May 30th, I think.
Right. So they, during the break, and it was the morning. I guess it broke in the morning.
Yeah.
And during the break, the producer said to me, we've heard that Barron Trump saw the picture and thinks his dad is dead.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't think that happened. And they said, no, you know, that's the word.
Right.
We're going with it kind of thing. And I said, I'm not going with it.
Right.
I'm going to sound like an idiot. And I get what you guys are doing because you're a conservative talk station.
Yeah.
But I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually said to him, look, if you can find a few like credible news outlets that said Barron Trump saw the picture and was traumatized by it, which seems wildly unlikely to me. But if you can find a few sources, then the next break we'll do it. And they came back to me the next break and they said, like, look, see, there's another news outlet. I said, but that news outlet just picked up on the first outlet's thing. That's not their own.
Right.
They're not reporting this. They picked up on the Breitbart article or whatever it is.
According to TMZ.
I said, I'm not doing it.
Uh-huh.
And I wish there was like a more of that in general.
Oh, man.
That's I'm Tell not a hero. I'm just like, I'm not going to talk about shit that didn't happen.
But I just wanted some common sense. And that's why I heard that you did that. It meant so much because you're a comedian and you know about lines. I did clear the photo with my attorneys. I knew it did not violate, you know, I knew that it was covered by the First Amendment for sure. I definitely didn't expect a government pushback. I mean, that really scared me to be under investigation.
What was the story? Where you were doing a photo shoot?
Yeah, I was doing a photo shoot. At the time, I always say, like, when I'm out of work, I'm always like trying to get something going, you know? And I was like done with my life on the D list. Bravo didn't like kind of choose to do any more specials, which I love, but you know, I miss it. So I was still touring like crazy. And I just decided to do a wacky photo shoot. And I did like a picture spoofing Kim Kardashian, who was my next door neighbor at the time. which is always a bottomless pit of gold for me that will never stop giving.
I can imagine.
And with the husband, you know what I mean? The ex-husband.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Wait, which one? Oh, Kanye. Was Kanye there at the time?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Lived next door to them, like so close I could open the windows and shake their hands.
Really?
It was never a dull moment.
This is at your second house up in the hills?
This was the one in Bel Air Crest. It's like a fancy gated community.
Oh, I don't think I've been to that one.
No, I don't know if you've been to that one.
I've been to the first one in the Hollywood Hills.
You've been to the My Life on the D-List house.
And then My Life at the D-List second house.
Right, right, right.
But I don't think I've been to the third.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry.
So, well,
you're doing a wacky photo shoot.
Yes. And I did some other pictures that I just thought, well, they'll live on Instagram for 2 seconds. And I'd worked with this photographer before. He did the album cover for one of my albums that I thought was nice and funny or whatever. And so I just thought nothing of it. And when he said, you know, we should do something like to spoof Trump in some way. And I said, you know, he had just said the thing about Megyn Kelly, blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever.
Right.
And I said, oh, let's do somewhere with blood coming out of his wherever or whatever. And so it was a Halloween mask, and there was like a styrofoam wig thing behind it to hold its shape, and he had to Photoshop that out. And they just put a bunch of like ketchup on it and like...
So fake. Literally ketchup.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like in the sink in the house. It was like maybe the photographer and like one other guy. Mm-hmm. And I had no publicist at the time. I think I was with William Morris then, but like that wasn't working. I wasn't bringing any money, that's for sure. And so then that picture, for some reason he gave it to TMZ. I don't know why, but I'm so naive.
The photographer did.
Yeah. I thought it was like artsy, or he would at least send it to like a comedy outlet of some kind or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so once it was on TMZ, it really blew up, and then it became I was a jihadist, and that photo was going to lead to Americans being beheaded. You know, it went there very quickly, very quickly.
So for you, you left, and it's always the story. Everyone just leaves the photo shoot, swings by the Quiznos, gets a sandwich, goes home, doesn't think anything of it. And then at some point, they get a text from their dad or something.
It's when you get the series of texts.
Right.
That's scary.
Right. So you made it through that day.
Barely. But by the day we did the shoot, oh, yeah. In fact, I think we did the shoot like a week prior to them coming out, and I'd sort of forgotten about it. And that last weekend, I remember I hosted an event for Barbara Davis, and it was the Race to Erase MS benefit at like the Beverly Hilton or whatever. And then I had a show at the Mirage, and it was like a normal weekend for me. And then the photo went out on like a Monday or Tuesday, and yeah, everything blew up very, very quickly. And I was watching the ticker on CNN, and then I saw that I got canned from the New Year's Eve thing. And
oh,
I didn't
on
hear
CNN,
from,
right?
Yeah, so I didn't hear from, you know, I didn't hear from Anderson Cooper. I didn't hear from Jeff Zucker. And just to see it on the ticker, I was like, oh, no. But my favorite was that I had done a satellite campaign and was the face of Squatty Potty.
Oh.
And, you know, let me tell you something, Adam.
The face of Squatty
Potty. I'm here to be raw with you. Mm-hmm. And when you hear from the Squatty Potty people...
Oh,
that
my God.
They don't want to buy what you're selling anymore in this industry.
Yeah.
After I sweated for those people. I mean, there was nothing I wouldn't do to promote a Squatty Potty.
Yeah.
And then to see that they made a statement regretting the artistry I brought to Squatty Potty. Or the SP community, as I call it.
How much of that, if any of it, is sincere outrage versus, you know, we got to just take this company line. I mean, with CNN or Squatty Potty or anybody like this, anybody, I have found myself saying all the time, like, you know, sort of famously, like when Matt Damon said, there's a difference between what Harvey Weinstein did and what Al Franken did.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, he needs to shut up.
No,
you know? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
And a lot of the real
100%
victims,
true.
That's fake outrage, because I know a lot of those Me Too girls, a lot of the real victim women, a lot of the real victims feel that same way. And they're almost afraid
to
say it.
Who wouldn't feel that way?
Especially when you've been fucking raped by Harvey Weinstein.
You've been raped by Harvey Weinstein versus someone slapped you on the ass on
a C-130
cargo jet or something.
By the way, when you're wearing a Kevlar vest,
yes.
I will say that. So
yes.
I also did the identical trip with Al Franken And I actually took his place, but it was the same thing. It was like an athlete. And, you know, so I went to Afghanistan and so did he. So, you know, I respect that. I mean, a lot of people talk the talk, but he got on the plane and went to Afghanistan, you know.
I do too. There's total context for me.
Yeah.
I don't probably disagree with Al Franken politically,
yeah.
but I'm not going to be a... I'm not going to be an intellectual moron
right.
and go, I don't like that guy's politics, so I'm going to jump on this bandwagon about him doing something that wasn't a thing.
And it's not insane. The same as what Weinstein did by a gazillion miles.
Look,
so that part has to be fake outrage.
It's a simple equation.
Yeah.
You have a daughter. Would you like her to have...
Right.
The Weinstein treatment,
right.
or
right.
you want her to sleep on a cargo jet and not be touched.
That's right.
By a guy who used to be on SNL.
Yeah.
I think we can answer that
yeah.
pretty easily.
So
for you, all these people are now coming out of the woodwork. Everyone's feigning outrage.
Yeah.
Right?
By the way, I have to say, my dear ex-friend Al Franken called me almost first because I was going to host
really?
Two book events for him. And he was like, what were you thinking? You have to know I can't possibly, you know, have you do those events now. Like, and not even like, oh, you know, my party put me in this position. Like, he was, you know, that was what was hard for me is I really got it from the left and the right equally. I mean, lost many, many friendships. And people
what,
were
like,
so
what
appalled.
Kind of friendships? Like, what,
like
who would...
Just, there's
it,
just,
it seemed like a good... Well, first off, you're a comedian.
Yeah, well... I know. That gets lost in translation.
It gets lost a little bit.
Yes,
I didn't think anything of it. I guess my thought would have been like, I guess you got to kind of see this coming in this
right.
this day and age of
yeah.
fake outrage. But that's all the thoughts I had on it.
Yeah.
I could not understand everyone. But like, who was a friend? You don't have to name names, but I just mean, like, why would someone end a friendship over this?
I would say... I lost like about 2/3 of my friends for sure. And most of my friends are liberal, you know. My Republican friends definitely are upset. But my lefty friends just kind of faded away
mm-hmm.
and didn't really come back, you know. So, you know, that's been hard. I mean, that part was not something that I could have ever predicted, even if I thought, like, I've sort of been in Hollywood fake trouble before. Like, one time at the Emmys, I did a speech I got in trouble for.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to spoof all the rappers and all the artists that thank Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I said Jesus had nothing to do with winning this award.
Right, right.
You know? And so, you know, I got in trouble, but nothing like this. That was like showbiz trouble.
Do you find... that, let's say, your friends on the left, it's sort of like saying, I don't know, let's just say there was some high school football coach and he was accused of being a pedophile.
Right.
And then so you went, oh, I got to get some distance from this guy.
Yeah.
And then, but you knew the whole time he wasn't a pedophile and he then gets acquitted of being a pedophile, but right. you still have to kind of keep your distance because he's the guy who was accused of that.
That's what I wonder because, first of all, remember, I was fully investigated by two agencies in the Department of Justice, the Secret Service, as well as the U.S. Attorney's Office. And so if you had any doubt that I did have any kind of a dark intention, when really, by the way, it was, like I said, it was there's also famous iconography with everything from Medusa to Perseus. There's a movie. Remember that movie, David Spade, 10 Heads in a Duffel Bag?
Yes.
It's not like...
Joe Pesci, I think.
Yeah, I'm just saying... I didn't think people would be so outraged. I thought there was sort of a track record, but it was too gory. I totally get that. But I think people now are, I think I have like the stench of being canceled and there's still a lot of fear of like, is she okay yet? And honestly, that's why this gig at the Mirage in June is like really big and significant to me because it's the first time that I get to go back and like, do like a real gig because I've been doing little gigs here and there, but for scale or losing money if I, you know, want to fly my husband out with me and stuff like that. But I'm not crying poor at all, but I am surprised that folks still are like nervous about me.
Yeah, it's
like I'm going to show up to a set with a decapitated head from the butcher shop or something.
Right. So, yeah, it's sad. It's sad that we don't have more character as adults or in our society. It's something I sort of lament a lot.
I think we've lost context. which is to me everything.
Yes.
I think we've lost, because like, I want to pare it down, not just say we've lost our sense of humor, but context of, I think intent is means something.
You know what I mean? It means when everything.
When you look at our dear mutual friend, Don Rickles, who, you know, I was just adored and lived for and just hung on his every word and stuff. But you knew very easily, very quickly that he was a complete mensch. He didn't have a mean bone in his body. He was very sweet. And at the end of his shows, when he sings, "I'm a nice guy," the audience is standing and clapping because they know. And I think he would be canceled in 4 seconds today because they're not even giving people 2 seconds to just give Rickles 4 seconds. You're going to get it. You know?
Well, intent. I've always used this example, and I used it for a million years, and I'll just stand by it. If one of my kids took my car out joyriding and got into an accident, I'd be pissed off about it.
Yeah.
But if the car sustained the exact same amount of damage because they took it out to have it detailed for my birthday and wanted to surprise me, then I have a completely different head on it. Not angry at all. One would be angry, the other would be not at all. The car would be in the same condition.
Right.
But the intent.
Yeah.
And I don't get why it's not factored in. Like,
not
I
to
have
mention
to,
the other element, which is your relationship.
Yes.
You're a dad, so naturally you're going to want to, you know, teach him a lesson if it's a teachable moment, but also be fair with him. It's your freaking kid.
Right.
So that has to be taken into account too.
Yeah. So I think, and you tell me what you think of this theory. My theory with Hollywood is everyone is replaceable, and by and large, and there are people like Seth MacFarlane. He creates a ton of commerce.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're sort of Elon Musk and Seth MacFarlane. And there's a few of these guys, and they can't really be canceled because of how much they create.
Chuck Lorre, guys like that.
Yeah.
Dick Wolf.
Yeah. Everyone else is kind of a gun for hire.
Yeah.
And as great an actor as this person may be, or as great an actress as that person may be, we don't need them.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone loves Nicole Kidman. She could fuck up. She could get drunk and paint
We have Naomi Watts.
Paint Hitler's mustache on herself and goose step around her living room, and we will never see her in another movie.
Like, yeah.
So, because these are the constraints and the rules of Hollywood, then it's very important what side of every issue you're on. And so Kathy may be a dear friend, may be funny. Of course, she meant nothing by it. It wasn't even her idea. Sorry.
Yeah.
I cannot show up at her party.
Yeah.
Because this is a popularity contest, and I'm trying to get a gig.
Right.
And it's not guaranteed, and I'm getting older.
Yeah.
They don't need me.
Well, those are my friends.
Yeah. Right.
Those, I mean, I'm 62, for sure, you know.
That's what you find in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And then it goes further, which is, well, it being seen over at Kathy's party is a bad look, and that might hurt my career. What would help my career?
Right.
How about I pile on the bandwagon of those who are bashing Kathy Griffin?
Yeah. Yeah. I run into that a lot. And I will call her out because she has a sense of humor, but I was having a dinner party. I have these like dinner party and lunch parties that are, I call salons. And there's no phones allowed. And I'm bringing back the art of conversation if it's the last thing I do. And so usually I try to have a little bit of a theme or something like that. And so we'll have it in honor of someone, that type of thing. And so I can't remember who we were honoring that night, but Maria Shriver was there. And it was a really great, fun dinner. And she did not want to be in the picture because I just take one picture at the end of the thing.
Right.
Like, I don't tape them. I'm not putting them on, you know, trying to sell them to Netflix. It's just a freaking dinner.
Right.
And I just remember I was like, Shriver, get in this picture. You are in my home having a catered meal.
What year is this?
This was 2018. So like maybe a year after the photo. And so I did have that experience.
Yes.
But look, she's on the Today Show. She, like you said, she's getting older. She's probably can't write her own ticket in news anymore, you know.
And there are consequences. It's not like people don't get canceled all the time.
All the time.
Like, I would say about Maria Shriver, I would go, well, that doesn't seem like a high character move, but I don't fault her for it per se, because there is a very – there's a real chance
she
that something could happen.
She is replaceable on the Today Show. That is the nature of the Today Show.
Everyone is the host of The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And it's just –
but let me tell you, it's been a bitter pill learning how replaceable I am, because – you know, it sucks, man, to be left out of, like, comedy festivals and stuff like that. And to just go from, like, touring so much. I was in the middle of a 50-city tour. Mm-hmm. Every single – the whole tour was canceled within 72 hours due to death threats at all the theaters.
Really?
I found out later they were robocalls.
Really?
But I had to learn how all this stuff, the cancel world, works, like people that focus on how to do it and stuff. And so I can't blame one theater – the freaking Count Basie Theater in Red Bank, New Jersey, where all of a sudden they get calls saying, if that CUNT goes on stage, we're going to throw a bomb and whatever it was, Allah Akbar or QAnon, whatever. And 25 theaters went, hey, is the insurance going to cover it? Is the audience safe? Mm-hmm. It got so crazy that it definitely got out of, you know, control for me, because I just didn't think it would be so extreme.
Did your income just completely shut off at that point?
100%. I don't want to say I'm bleeding money, because as you know, I pride myself on that, and I'm lucky, knock on wood, I saved my money.
Yeah.
All that stuff's
probably
good.
I shouldn't say bleed either, but keep going.
Oozing? Gently oozing?
Yeah.
Cascading sparkling
money.
Like a beautiful fountain.
Right.
And so, I haven't made any money, so I haven't, you know, made any money in 5.5 years for sure. But the thing I will tell you is it's the legal fees, because I've been sued 5 times since that photo by MAGA folks that have invoked Trump's name and stuff. And one was in federal court in Kentucky, one was in state court in Kentucky. You know, I got to fly my lawyers to Kentucky for the hearing, and
what damages, you know, are they claiming?
They're all defamation, which I actually really know how to dance around that. It's really my commodity. And so every single one of them has been dismissed already. Every single one of them.
Are these citizens? Appeal.
Yeah. So, for example, one of them was my next door neighbor, and he was the CEO of that company, KB Homes. And they make, like, uh-huh, you know, like a not they make, what do you call it? Not track homes, but yeah.
Okay. Custom homes.
Custom homes.
Yeah.
Okay. And so.
Oh, man.
After,
you went from Kim and Kanye to this jerk off?
Well, Kim and Kanye were on the other side.
Oh, okay.
And
good.
I was like, you realize the big money's over there, honey.
Right.
The big check is over there. You're one house away. And so he, after the Trump thing, he would stand in his yard and scream and call me the C word and say, you know, ever since Trump put the heat on you, it's war.
This really? Is
good. And so I then. There was a tape on my Ring camera, and I just gave it to the Huffington Post. And I go, look, if I show up dead, no one's going to think, they'll think it was Kim Kardashian before they'll think it was the CEO of KB Homes.
Right.
And that guy sued my husband and me for 3 years for
Jesus
defamation.
Christ. Yeah, I was wondering, how did he do it just on the Trump photograph? But this
was
something else.
Yeah, and then 12 families from the Covington Catholic High School where MAGA hat kid went.
Mm-hmm.
They separately from him sued me in federal court because I tweeted about that incident, and then state court with a bunch of other people, like, you know, Secretary Deb Haaland and Elizabeth Warren. And
those
cost real
focus.
Money.
Yeah.
You know, and they take each suit takes about 3 years of litigation.
Yeah. Look, most every lawsuit I've been involved with starts with, you know, the patent trolls are suing you, and it's like, you know, it's a scam, because they go, at some point someone goes, if this thing goes to court, it's going to cost $2 million to defend.
Right.
They're asking for $750 right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's the new world order with everything. If you have an employee that quits or you fire them, they go, oh, there's a wrongful termination involving the person's race. You didn't know he was a Jehovah. Yeah. I was like, I didn't know what the fucking guy was even. It's like, well, you said a few things. It's like, and then they go, just get the money.
I am scared to hire a new assistant. I'm not kidding.
Yes.
I'm terrified to hire an assistant. Because, honey, in my day,
they all
saw me naked for fittings.
Yes.
And I just assumed they were all gay. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know me. I've got the gays at the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just assumed everybody, you know, was like-minded. But now, scared to hire anybody.
No, it, and it's not.
I used to have five people on staff. Five.
It doesn't help that. It certainly doesn't help, like, if you're black or you're gay or you're Latinx or something like that, because you're scared if I do fire them, then they're going to have a discrimination case, and it hurts the cause.
Yeah, I agree.
We have the audio of your neighbor yelling at you.
Oh, my God. Go for it. Jeffrey T. Mezger.
Hey, Randy, go fuck yourself. Seriously? You call on my grandkids at 9 o'clock? You're not even the fucking owner. You're stuck with a fucking bald dyke who Donald Trump kind of put the heat on. Now you're calling the cops? Fuck you. And fuck Kathy. You're not our fucking neighbor. You're a fucking asshole.
Well, you can be both. I've had a lot of neighbors that sadly were assholes.
But I never said he was my neighbor.
Yeah.
He was definitely my neighbor. But that was like, it's so funny because like Howard Stern played that tape too. And even Howard was like, yeah, to like go home to that day in and day out is like not pleasant.
Stressful. Yeah.
And by the way, I never countersued that guy. I just was like, get this thing out of my life, you know.
So
and then we moved.
As I recall, but you tell me. And you had Gloria Allred, right? As an attorney for 10 minutes or something?
No, the daughter.
Oh, the daughter. I'm sorry. Lisa, who looks a lot like her.
Yes, Lisa Bloom. Yes.
Lisa Bloom. Then you gave a press conference, and it was just a shit show.
It was
right?
a disaster. By the way, she also didn't disclose to me that she was also working with and representing Harvey Weinstein at the time on his
wow.
book deal.
Oh, right.
And then he said he was going to make a movie out of a book she wrote. And so that, you know, I would say she definitely has an agenda. I was very let down by her. The press conference was a horrible, horrible idea. I'd never had one before. I don't think I'll have one again. And it was at her office. And then when we got there, I was under a banner that says LisaBloom.com. And she hands me a mug of water that says LisaBloom.com.
Yeah. Is this,
I mean,
how many weeks after the incident?
Days.
Oh, that was just days.
I was not in my right mind. I just want to say it was so nuts. I was like crying half the time. Jim Carrey called me and was like super, super sweet. And I just burst into tears. I am not defending my sanity during those days.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty good friends with Mark Garagos. And whether it's you doing a press conference or Alec Baldwin sitting down for an interview, he's like, that's not a good idea.
Oh, God, it was awful.
Do you feel
awful.
Like you were being exploited?
Yeah, I didn't know Lisa's deal. And I just thought she was, I bought into her MSNBC, I'm a feminist shtick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was, can I tell you something? She's the only one who called. She's the only one who called. My First Amendment attorney, who's amazing, was at a funeral, which he feels a little guilty about, hopefully. I'm always like, are you sure the person was dead enough? Anyway, he's the great Alan Isaacman, and he actually defended Larry Flint in the landmark Supreme Court case, mm-hmm. Larry Flint versus Hustle. Actually,
People
Jerry Falwell.
Larry Flint was a movie.
Right. This case was Jerry Falwell versus Hustler magazine.
Right.
So anyway, I always thought if he could deal with Larry Flynn, he can deal with me. And so he's been my guy for like 20 years. And once he got involved, things got a little more normal. But he also had to be negotiating with the DOJ because they wanted to do a perp walk and they wanted like video of a perp walk. So they kept calling him every day to see if I'd go downtown. So he was like negotiating with them like, look, let's do like they wanted to do a no-knock raid. And he said, okay, what if one of you guys just came to the house with me? And so they searched the house for any weapons, and I had one. Unfortunately, it was a sword from when I hosted the Gay Swordsman Awards. And then I was explaining to the DOJ about the gay swordsman community.
Oh, boy.
Which I can tell by the look on your face you are also unfamiliar with.
But yeah.
They will be heard, okay? Yeah. One day it'll be their time. The gay swordsmen.
In a weird way, most swordsmen are gay. They wear the super high boots in the front.
But they're golden, and they're bedazzled,
so,
and they're rainbow-colored swords.
Ironically, they found a sword.
And I had to explain my way out of that. It came up again during my interrogation. Then I had to tell them, like, because I was so nervous and telling them how I was innocent that I had this sword. And I kept saying, you can have it. I don't need a gay sword. I have several gay swords. And I was like, oh, why did I say that? And so I inadvertently started talking about like gay events I've hosted and how they're really innocent. And then I talked about hosting the Gay Porn Awards, and Alan was sitting right next to me, but they said, we don't want him to interrupt you at all. So Alan was just trying to give me a look like, why are you talking about the Gay Porn Awards?
Right.
Why don't you just stop it? It's a bedazzled gay sword.
Yeah.
And let it be. But I was over explaining.
Mark Garagos also says.
Yes and no answers.
He says he shows him that last interview. When he is dealing like with the convention of lawyers, or he literally brings up that last interview that Jerry Lewis did. Okay. And, you know, people go like, what was the funnest time you ever had with Dean Martin?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Just asking. Well, you did.
Yeah.
You asked.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, that's when you're being deposed. Yeah. That's how you answer. Just
right.
One word.
Right. That's the master at work.
Can't recall.
Yep.
Can't recall.
Right.
That's it. Not stories about gay swordsmen.
And then I was going into what won that year and the other nominees. I really thought I had them. I thought I had them.
In the foil category.
Yes.
Yeah, we have. That interview is too depressing. But all right, we need to take a quick break. Kathy, this is awesome. I hope you can hang in a little longer.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk about everything. We'll do more of that right after this. Let me tell you about Green Chef. They got an expanded menu. You can choose from 30 recipes weekly with an option to mix and match from different diets in the same box without changing your plan. Vegan one day, keto the next. Yeah, mix it up. Plus, more customization than ever. Swap the protein in any meal. Also add chicken or fish to select vegan or vegetarian recipes for added protein as well. Now offering 10-minute lunches. No cooking required. Only meal kit that's carbon and plastic offset. Reduce food waste up to 38% versus grocery shopping. So much of it ends up in the garbage. I love the steak and creamy Parmesan shrimp. That is my favorite from Green Chef. Currently, that's the leader in the clubhouse. It's Green Chef, right, Dawson?
Go to greenchef.com/Corolla60 and use code Corolla60 to get 60% off plus free shipping. That's greenchef.com/CAROLLA60 and use code Corolla60 to get 60% off plus free shipping. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
In celebration of Jim Carolla's upcoming 92nd birthday, here's a list of 92 things Jim Carolla has never done. Number 34, eaten something he has killed. Just one of 92 things Jim Carolla has never done. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, the bumper reminded me about your parents and how close you were or are.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, they loved you. So my dad passed away during my life on the D-list, and my mom passed away during COVID, which sucks. But, you know, it was just rough because my mom, first of all, my dad lived to 90 and my mom to 99. So I'm not complaining.
Wow.
I had them for a very long time. But I still miss them. And they were such like a big part of my like kind of act. And so, I'm going to talk about my mom at least. Cause like Rickles would still talk about his mom even when she passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And she was always in the audience of every single show and stuff.
Really?
So I've been thinking about how during COVID, I do feel that I aged 30 years.
You don't
Not
look
three,
it.
30. No, wait. Psychologically. Here's why. I'm very much looking forward to my first diaper.
Mm.
Like, I'm tired of being middle-aged. I want to fucking jump right to the good stuff.
Get to the good stuff.
I want the Rascal.
You want a Rascal?
I want to decorate it with streamers.
Can of Ensure, perhaps.
Oh, if I can keep it down.
Oh, right. Who knows?
And then I got to worry about the BM.
That's right.
And is it today or tomorrow? So I want to live in the Villages. I'm going to bring Lana Cipro, because we all know they're all a little wild down there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's my next chapter.
Your parents, I would see at your parties
always.
Every time you threw a party.
They would work the door.
Yeah.
They would work the door. And they also had, you know, quite a bit of alcohol there. That was kind of the third person helping them. And yeah. my mom had the box of wine.
Yeah.
Because she's always at Trader Joe's. Or Two Buck Chuck. I believe Two Buck Chuck is gone now.
Yeah. I haven't seen it or heard of it in a while. My memories are Margaret Cho wanting to talk to me about sobriety. Not mine, but
by the way,
hers.
How'd that go?
She was at the seventh? I'm trying to step. Maybe it's the ninth step. I always screw it up. But
as long as it's 12 or under.
It's the part where you have to make amends with people who you've
right,
wronged.
Right. Did she wrong you?
I am almost unwrongable.
Did you even remember what she brought up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah. I think about this all the time, like in a world where, you know, back to Al Franken.
Yes.
Like, I had friends in high school shit into a napkin during school hours and then physically attack me in the hall by mashing the shit into my ear.
Right, right.
So I had that shit. All I did was get assaulted by my friends. That's all we did to each other.
It was the love language.
The wedgies, the stripping, that I've been peed on by a thousand,
right.
one of my friends.
Right.
There's nothing you could do to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, Margaret crossed some line in her mind.
Did you hook up with her?
No, she.
Just tell me.
She, before she was sober, she had a script. And it had like a sex scene or something in it.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to come over and sort of act it out.
Yes.
You know, like read the script with her. And I was like, I'm good. Like, we could do this over the phone or something like that. And she's like, no, I'm heading over in
a bathrobe.
She walked over to my house.
Oh.
And she seemed a little off,
foggy?
Or something, a little foggy.
Okay. All right. All
we
right.
looked out about it. It wasn't.
That's all right. That's
it
okay.
wasn't a thing.
No.
And I, whatever. Reading a script with Margaret Cho versus having shit smashed in your ear.
Right.
This was a nothing burger
right.
to me. You know.
Yeah.
But when I ran into her at your party,
oh.
it was something for her. And so,
those parties were magical. Can
I
be
was
honest?
Like, I was like, no, 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 Margaret. Like, it's fine. Like,
those
whatever.
Parties
She's
were
like,
landmines. Because I would have those parties, and they were sometimes like 400 people, and it was everybody we knew before they got famous. So
yeah.
it was like young, you know, anybody, young Will Ferrell, young a lot of improvisers. So it was
all the Groundling people.
All the Groundling people. So it was Anna Gasteyer and Will Forte and
oh yeah, we
you
should
know,
talk
Sherry
about
O'Terry
the Groundlings.
And,
the
yeah.
other. Memorable moment besides talking to your parents
yeah.
I loved the neighbor. You had a neighbor,
right?
Not Kim and not the
no I had
developer.
Another neighbor.
And a woman was up on a hill
yeah
like, kind of behind you
mm-hmm.
an attractive woman
yeah
and she was explaining that she was in the Howard Stern movie.
Oh yeah, she was my neighbor.
And
she's the girl in the bathtub in Private Parts.
She played the hot actress
right
in the thing. And she was basically like, you know, we can leave this party and
walk down the hill.
My house. I was standing.
I mean, it was in walking distance.
I was standing on your deck and the back.
So she actually
and she's
pointed.
Like pointed at
we
her
can be in that bed
house.
In 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And?
I didn't do it.
What's going on?
I had a girlfriend.
Talk to me.
I was spoken for.
I had no idea that my parties were almost pre-orgy level.
They were
apparently
swinging, man. Yeah.
Because you know what I was always focusing on? And I feel like you're avoiding this topic as if I'm not going to bring it up.
Mm.
Are we going to get Andy Dick out of jail in Lake Elsinore or not?
Oh, is he in jail? At Lake
yes.
Oh, Jesus
so look,
Christ.
No Christmas party would be the same, just be honest, without Andy.
That's
because
true.
Because I can't believe Andy didn't try to have sex with you every time he saw you.
Never did. Was always
Adam.
Well,
that's kind of like gay bashing for you to just even say that.
It was. Are
What's
you kidding?
Wrong with him?
I'm devastated.
What's wrong with him?
Because
wow.
not only did he not
high and mighty,
he never came on to me. And his girlfriends were always
hot.
Smoke shows.
Smoke show.
And I was like, hot. This beanpole's not even straight. Where did it get you?
People don't know he has, I believe, 5 kids and 3 baby mamas, and they all were smoke shows, all yes. devoted to him.
Yes.
It's shocking when I tell people that he's been with women, period, and that he has 3 baby mamas who adored him and many kids.
When did you start at the Groundlings? I remember missing you, maybe, but I remember going to a party at your apartment yeah. on the west side.
Yeah, Santa Monica.
You lived in a big apartment complex?
Yeah, but the apartment was only a studio. So when I had the party, I had to give people a shift. So you were invited only, and it was the winter, so it got dark early. You were invited either 3 to 5, 4 to 6, or 6 to 8. And if there was crossover, I kicked your ass out.
Who were the early? So
and my,
said,
my mother would make her Swedish meatballs, yes. and then later, in a drunken stupor, confessed that they were from IKEA.
Oh, really?
All those years, Adam, she lied
oh,
to you.
Oh my God,
lied
and
to
now
you.
Now there's going to be another lawsuit because I praised those meatballs my
there's
entire adult life.
There is a reckoning.
So, who were the early Groundlings people you're at, and like what years were you
well,
at the Groundlings?
First of all, I was there so long that I was actually the youngest person to get into the Sunday Company, which is like the B Company we used to call
sure,
it, but
yeah.
very respectable. It's where everybody starts up before they go into the A Company. But I actually got into the A Company with like John Lovitz.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. Mindy Sterling, who yeah. went on to be in all the Austin Powers movies.
And was always just a perennial teacher
yeah.
there. She
yeah,
always
yeah.
taught
always
classes.
Good. And like that, my era was pretty much when Paul Rubens, like P.B. Herman was really taking off.
Uh-huh.
But Cassandra Peterson, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark,
right.
she was still like in the main company, but I never got to cross over. My big crossover was I got to be in the main company and work with Phil Hartman for like 2 years.
Mm.
And that was magical
genius.
Because he was such a genius, and he had actually gone to do a pilot and it didn't go, so he was sort of skulking back to the Groundlings, but he was just incredible and he got all the great reviews, but he was so good on stage it was hard not to be a fan.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost hard to stay in the scene because I almost just wanted to stop and watch him. He was so good.
And so Will Ferrell and Will Forte.
Will Ferrell was my Groundling student, and he and his brother lived in his mom's basement for real.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, to this day, I'm like, how's the apartment hunt going? So, very proud. And Sherry O'Terry was my student, maybe on a guest star. I remember maybe more from my teacher era, but like, who was I in the Groundlings with? A lot of really good people. I mean, Julia Sweeney got to SNL.
Right, right.
Lisa Kudrow from Friends, where
right.
she and I were at the exact same time.
Yeah.
So it was a competitive place, but a good group.
Yeah. Cynthia Sagetti.
Yeah,
was
she was
there.
A great teacher.
She always taught.
Yeah.
She
and it was just exciting. I mean, I went from just, I'm not a Nepo baby. Mm. I went from just being in Illinois to moving out here and just, going to one of their shows and starting up with the school and hoping for the best. And I think I lucked out. I feel like I worked with some of the best in the business.
Don't you
Jennifer Coolidge.
Sure, that's right. Yeah. Don't you feel like the Groundlings was a great sort of base for you, like in whatever endeavor,
oh, yeah.
from an entertainment standpoint? Like I could remember when I got into radio,
mm-hmm.
and no one in radio had any kind of improvisational training,
yeah.
yes and not only that, but and bring some to the party and everything like that. And like I would sit myself like in between these people and I'd start saying something and they'd totally negate it
yeah.
or say like, I heard that before, that's dumb or something. And I'd go like, you're not following the rule. You don't know
you're
the rules.
You're not advancing anything here.
Right. And I got it so beat into me
right.
that, Cynthia Sagetti was always a fucking hard ass, and like she'd do that thing where it's like, all right, with two people on the scene and then Adam, you enter. And then I'd like come walking in and I'd go, hi. And she'd go, get out. You didn't bring something
Start
to the
over.
Party. Start over.
Close the door.
Bring something.
Yeah.
And then I'd come back out again with the invisible bowl of fruit salad and go,
well, you better hold it in a realistic way.
I brought fruit salad. What do you guys? No questions.
No, that's a question.
You know what they're doing.
Close
here.
Close the door.
Get out.
Back to one.
Back to one. I like yelled that so many times.
But also remember, we also changed our own sets in between.
Yes.
Like, how many injuries do you think you sustained just in an improv class?
Do you have this thought when you bring up all these people? And I could remember going to parties with, like, God, he was Will's roommate, I think, back in the day.
Seinfeld? No, I'm just kidding.
Jerry. God, he used to give me a toilet calendar every year.
How do I not know this guy? He must have been in my home.
Chris will find a picture of a calendar that Jerry would send me. But anyway, so many of them became famous, became stars.
Not to mention the Jeanine Garofalo, Bob Odenkirk, Paul Tompkins, Andy Kindler, you know, all the like stand-ups too, Judy Toll, who you knew.
Yeah.
There was Ben Stiller planted his seed around that crowd too. And also a little bit of the Christopher Guest improv crowd.
Yeah, it kind of makes you think that show business isn't really that unlike other businesses, sort of show up, don't piss people off, work it. Yeah, Jerry Collins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You remember Jerry Collins with his toilet calendar?
Yep.
Yeah, it was a calendar you put on your toilet.
It's a toilet calendar.
Yeah.
I'm not disputing that.
And water resistant or everything resistant, I'm here to tell you.
Okay, wait a minute. Do you remember... I hope you do remember how disgusted I felt when I found out that you and Jimmy used to purposely leave feces in the bathroom when you'd be on the road and just have one bathroom at like a crappy hotel. Are you proud of that, Adam? I'm just wondering.
Proud may not be the right word.
Really?
Nostalgic?
Do you sleep at night or no? Nostalgic.
Yes.
Really? Hold on. Slow clap. Way to go. You straights just do it year after year, don't you? Never let me down.
Yeah,
leaving poops for each other.
We probably did that. We had to share the same motels, you know, many times.
Well, why do you have to make each other pay in that way?
I think there's just a different wiring. And again, I was the guy who had poop smashed in his ear. So the fact that it was just floating in the toilet.
There was like a degree of separation, at least.
It was a definite upgrade.
It was way more sanitary.
For me. Yeah. I grew up with flat-out criminal animals who just physically attack you at all times.
How many people from your childhood are in prison?
One guy I cleaned carpets with when I was younger killed somebody on Ventura Boulevard in a gay bar. Actually, I wasn't real good friends with him, but we did teach. The other guy, another guy from my childhood, went to prison. my best friend spent some time in prison.
Okay.
And his dad
in the sometime program?
His dad had to stay with us because he was going to go into prison in a few weeks. And he stayed on our sofa. I remember that
when I was about outreach.
I was about 19. I think it was his idea. I just didn't protest sufficiently. So for you, all right. So we're all over
so
the road
I
now.
Still had good parties. Lots of people that went on to be famous.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I like that you remember I was a bit of a party destination for the comedy posse.
Your Christmas parties were pretty epic.
Yeah, legendary.
And so you came out here from Illinois, right? And you really just kind of local girl made good, right? You just left Illinois, came here.
Didn't know a soul, just walked into every agency with pictures and the whole thing and got headshots made and everything. And I discovered the Groundlings pretty early. But as you know, that process takes years.
Yes.
So I was in the school fairly fast. I think I was only in school for 2 years. But I think it can run a lot longer. But once again, I was unhappy to, but none of my real life relatives could understand how you work for free in the Groundlings. In fact, you pay dues.
I know.
So it was like years and years of like,
your relatives.
Kath, yeah. Kath, when are you getting paid? You're getting ripped off, Kath. This is a gyp.
Listen,
you go in there and you tell them I'm walking, you know, like years of that.
I sat on construction sites trying to explain to the same kind of people.
How'd that go with the guys?
It was like, you pay them to make stuff up? Yeah, I pay to make stuff up. Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's called improv. And then they do a show. Yeah. And then they charge for tickets. Yeah. And then you get... No, I don't get that money. I pay. Okay. Hey, Bert, come here.
Yeah.
You got to hear this.
You're not going to believe this.
He pays the groundhogs.
Yeah.
What you say it was called again?
Mm-hmm.
You pay them money so you can make shit up, and then they charge people who pay money to watch you make shit up, but you don't get any money because, like, in their world...
What a sucker.
You get $13 an hour for hanging drywall. You don't hang drywall at night for free.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was in the same boat as you were with the relatives.
Did you ever have any relatives think you knew a really weird, like, A-lister way early on? Like, I had one of my sisters, there may have been a little of the drink involved, but long after Miami Vice was off the air, she would have a couple drinks and go, "Kath, do you know Don Johnson? Have you met Don Johnson?" I mean, I had not even been in a local commercial yet. So I'm like, no, I don't know Don Johnson.
Right.
And I don't think he's that character.
Right.
I think he's like a separate person.
Yes. He may not even live in the greater Miami
area.
I
don't know if he's actually a detective.
What?
I'm not sure. So did you have anybody that was like, "Hey, can you invite Tom Cruise to this lunch or anything?"
My family had no interest, and still to this day has no interest in my showbiz career.
So. Do they want you to get a real job?
No, they sort of get I do stuff and make money, but they're not really involved with it.
Do they listen?
No.
Maybe like an anniversary show?
No. They would never support.
What about like? Do you ever do like a tribute? This is your life, where your mom comes on and cries. Did she ever come on and cry?
We made the mistake of putting my mom on the radio in like 2009 because we thought it would be funny if we did show trivia and see if she knew any of the show trivia.
Yeah.
We also then pitted her against Dave Damashek's mom. He was doing sports on the show. His mom lived in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, but listened diligently. My mom lived in North Hollywood, California, so she got...
A short drive away, frankly.
She got the signal and knew nothing.
Wow.
I did not know one piece of trivia about the show. And then it was exacerbated because as my mom, like when we were saying like, "All right, it's Chris Carolla's time."
Yeah.
"Who is the black intern that's on the Adam Carolla show?" And she'd go, "How could I possibly know? But who would know?" And then Dave Damashek's mom would yell, "Charon, his name's Charon." And then we go, ding, ding, ding. Yeah. So as my poor mom was explaining who could possibly know this and it's unknowable, the woman who is 2,800 miles away in Beaver Creek was nailing every single one because she listened to the show.
But the questions don't really sound that hard, frankly.
Well,
like maybe
to be fair to her,
later, but...
it's impossible if you don't listen to a second of the show.
Okay.
But if you listen to Howard Stern's show and they said, "What is Gary Delabate's nickname?" Then you would say Papa Booey.
Yes.
But if you've never heard the show, then you wouldn't say
now,
Papa
Booey. Did she feel guilty?
No, she was angry.
Okay, because I was going to say, did she send a gift? But hold on, let me go back. And what was how did she express herself? What was her beef?
She was perturbed.
Oh shit!
And
you perturbed
her. A lot of hostile answers. Like, how could I possibly? Like, she was.
Did she? Maybe she had someplace better to be.
Likely not. But
shopping, maybe would she like that instead? Maybe she'll send her to a mall.
She wasn't a shopper.
Maybe she wants to watch Maury.
There's not a lot of retail going on with my Carollas. They're not shoppers.
Maybe she wants to watch a Martha Stewart cook something on the TV.
I'm sure she would have wanted to be many other places than she was on the phone. I think so. She was at home. But
she literally phoned it in. Now
she phoned it in.
Dave, you guys work through this?
No, she's dead.
Oh, my God. You took this to her deathbed?
I didn't take it there, but she did, yeah.
Okay. Did you ever bring it up with her?
No.
Why? By the way, as if I would ever do that with my mother. Why? But I'm going to keep going. Why would you not bring it up in a way that would bring us closer together?
How could we broach this? You don't listen to 10 seconds of my local radio show, which is on for 4 hours
maybe
a day in your community, and you're an early riser. She'd get up at 6:30 in the morning.
Well, she maybe...
And a radio listener.
Maybe the topics were not, frankly, exciting enough.
That's obviously not a fan. That's all I'm saying. All right, we need to take another quick break. We'll come back with a little more Kathy Griffin right after this. O'Reilly. Oh, man. I've been with O'Reilly for a million years, and now they're a sponsor of the show. I love it. Thanks, O'Reilly. And I'll continue to patronize your stores. That's O'Reilly. It's O Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Shop in-store or online. Get points and rewards sent straight to your phone or your inbox. You can get 2, 3, or even 4 times the bonus points on select purchases. To get you to your next reward even faster, receive a $5 reward for every 150 O Rewards points. And if you're already an O Rewards member and not receiving the rewards, just add your email or mobile phone number and get a $10 reward just for updating your existing account. And you sign up. And it's quick and it's easy. Just go to O'ReillyAuto.com, O'ReillyAuto.com, or do it in a store. That's an O'Reilly store.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam. Update on a movie you were talking about the other night, The Gumball Rally. Dom DeLuise was not in that one. There was two of those movies, The Gumball Rally and The Cannonball Run. Dom DeLuise and Burt Reynolds were the ambulance drivers. Hey, Jamie Farr was in there. And, of course, Adrian Barbeau. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, I didn't think Dom DeLuise was in The Gumball Rally, but Jamie Farr's character, we could find a clip, could not be done today. It was a very culturally insensitive character. I think he played an Arab man.
Could Robin Williams do impressions today? Serious question.
Oh, my God. No, I don't think so. Let me give a plug out, by the way. KathyGriffin.com is the website. You can go there and find out dates.
Yes.
Vegas.
June 17, Mirage in Las Vegas.
I predict a huge outpouring of emotion and a big comeback. What I've learned is we love to beat everyone down, and then at some point we've decided they've cried uncle and it's time to build them back up again.
Oh, from your mouth to God's ears.
That's going
to
happen June 17th, Mirage Theater.
You think I could be Tody Fields after she loses the legs?
Yes.
Gets back on stage.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yes. So for you, oh God, I think people peripherally have been paying some attention, but Bevin's story is Kathy Griffin did something and she pissed off Trump, and now she got canceled, and who knows when she got sick. Like, who knows what's going on
exactly
with her. But I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so glad you're able to reconnect this way.
Yeah, me too.
I'm
glad to be alive at this point.
Yes.
I just wanna say that.
Did you have trauma growing up?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, the whole family was addicts. You know, I'm an addict myself. I'm in recovery for a prescription pill problem. So
how long was that?
I'm not blaming him at all, but it kicked into high gear with the Trump thing just because everything
just had to medicate.
And it was wrong, but everything seemed sensitized. But prior to that, I'd been like kind of dancing with like abusing them for probably about 5 years, mm-hmm. you know, and it was just the classic story. You know, I'd get sick from something and be given pain pills or, you know, the worst part is I wanted to be on Adderall to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
At my age, like what the am I thinking?
Right.
Who cares? Like, right. I'm going to do a bikini montage.
Right.
And so, in recovery for that, that's awesome. And that's been a good thing and a source for a lot of new friends, too, which is nice because it's hard to make friends at my age, you know? And I didn't know if I could after the whole Trump mass exodus. And so, you know, it's nice having like a core friend group and stuff like that. So, you know, as far as getting uncanceled, I almost feel like it's a little personal first. But the trauma, yeah, it's The trauma is weird because it's so extreme. And in my family, we didn't really talk about stuff. So we didn't even know how to talk about this, you know?
Yeah. Well, pardon me, because I never really, I thought like you'd experienced some trauma, but I didn't know who was the, who violated you or what the trauma was or what the story was.
Yeah, I was molested when I was about 10 by my brother's best friend. I talked about my first book. And my brother was an actual active pedophile. So that was a horrible specter to live under.
Oh, my God.
He went to prison.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a lot of tension in my family because I became 100% estranged from him. And my parents, and I honestly don't blame them, they kept trying to, you know, get him help. They went to visit him in prison. He was actually in and out of prison. And, you know, there they are, senior citizens at this point. When he got out of prison, he just literally became a homeless crackhead. So they'd like go down to MacArthur Park, try to pick him up. Then I'd be screaming at them like, don't do it. You've got to let him go. Because I don't have kids. I can't even possibly understand even hearing that about your kid and your kid's in prison. You know, I get it. But the family, it kind of tore us apart because I just thought, I can't. I just, this guy, like, I don't, I think we should cut him off. I don't know. It doesn't get worse than that. You know, it doesn't. But the family would kind of go in and out of, I think, trying to think he was okay or wanted to be okay. And I kind of got vilified. So that was tough. And so, like, when his best friend molested me, that guy spent the night at our house. Mm-hmm. So, look, it's very Catholic. It's very, like, we don't talk about it. You know, my cousin was, like, a gay priest who literally died of AIDS. And to this day, like, half the family is, like, maybe it was an accident.
Right.
You know, so it's pretty Catholic, Irish Catholic deep, you know.
Wow. Is your brother still alive?
No, he died. And my parents really wanted me to go to when he was like intubated and, you know, out of it. And so I went because of them, but it was hard. I didn't really want to see him. But by the way, I will not be talking about any of this in Vegas. I swear to God, when I hit that stage at the Mirage, it is fun, fun, fun.
Yeah. This is fascinating. I don't know about fun, but I used alliteration there. Well, I'll break the tension with the Jimmy Farr clip from Gumball Rally. Or from, God, was it Gumball Rally?
Cannonball Run.
Cannonball Run, sorry. Tell me if this would hold. This is like 1979 or something.
It's a different time.
Let's see if this would hold up today. Jimmy Farr from MASH, everyone.
When I called you, I was doing 140 miles an hour. That was 6 Lambergers, 4 shish kebabs, a side order of couscous, and 2 milk. No, how much?
$6.75.
Here, my desert blossom, give the change. Have you ever considered joining a harem? I shall return for you after the rest. Get a physical. I shall return, my little thing.
Simpler times, huh?
Wow. But wasn't he Middle Eastern?
I think he was Armenian or something. He has some descent
because
in
the
him.
Gripe would be whatever country that character is from, you must get a comedic actor who can be really funny, who also has a ton of experience. Like, yeah. You know,
Lebanese American, but born in Toledo.
I was going to say he's whatever Casey Kasem was.
And by the way, I am not saying Lebanese people are the same as the people of origin of that character.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not want to say he looked Saudi to me, but I could be wrong.
Yes.
And I would apologize
to
the Lebanese and Saudi communities for even thinking it.
A lot has changed since you've been on stage 5 years ago.
Honey, I am scared shitless.
Yeah, what is your take?
I'm going to cancel myself because...
You've already been canceled, though.
Well, that's the thing is I think I'm sort of uncancelable at this point because I did, like, survive it. Like, it sucked, but I sort of, like, got through it in a way that I'm... You know, I'm glad I got through it in some way, shape, or form. And I will say, like, since I opened up about having cancer, there's been a lot of people that I think have been in the shadows a bit that have been like, it's easy to support. So a lot of people have been super supportive about that. And I will play the cancer card
like
a dirty whore. You have no idea. The minute they stop laughing, I'm going to start screaming, I have cancer.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start screaming, I have cancer.
He played an Arabian sheik in this movie. Yeah. So what do you think about the cancel culture, comedy? What's going on? I don't.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Because look, you can step in shit even talking about freaking Meghan and Harry. Like, that's off the table.
I get it, but is there a...
Half of my career is making fun of Oprah interviews.
Right. Is there going to be a backlash? Like, I get, you bring up Meghan and Harry.
Yeah.
I think people are done with those douchebags. Like,
I think in the real world, you're right. And I think I'm too much looking at the online world. But I think in the real world, people go, yeah, I get it. And that Oprah interview, it just has too many comedic moments.
Right.
I mean, it's been memed and gift. I mean, so that stuff has to be on the table, and I'll tell you why. It's punching up. If I make fun of Meghan Markle, I ain't Meghan Markle. I'm on the freaking D-list trying to get a gig. I'm not a prince.
Right.
So I think we've lost. This is what I struggle with. When you're punching up and when you're punching down. I'm not making fun of somebody with, you know, a disability. Although I've also seen that done in a way where that person is laughing more than anyone, I promise. Like, you do have to be open. Things can work that sound bad on paper, vice versa. Anyway, it's a loss. And I know I'm sounding like an old-timey, oh, you're complaining because you can't say the N-word. I never said the freaking N-word. All right, don't go to that freaking extreme. But when I was, for example, when I was an improviser, to audition for the Growlings, you had to do like 5 accents.
Right.
Well, I'm 100% Irish. I'm not only doing Irish characters. That's a little limiting.
Right.
You know, and over the years, the Growlings has finally gotten more diverse, and that's how it should be. But we've also lost that skill. Like, I don't even know in the Growlings, are you allowed to do like multi accents?
I don't know. I mean, I did one of my
skill set.
One of my favorite bits was my buddy Chris Darga.
Yeah. Oh, he's so funny.
He would do these great accents and stuff, and he played like the Middle Eastern area rug salesman.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like,
that was his bit.
The accent. And then he'd go like, feel the rug, feel it. And it was like a couple would be like, no, touch it with your hand. Touch it. And then you go, make love.
Sniff it.
Yeah.
But here's a Middle Eastern guy doing a character based on, by the way, all the stores on La Brea. So let's not act like we don't know the inspiration.
Right.
Maybe it was his family. I don't know. But that shit was so funny. And like I said, that's a skill. It's like you had to kind of do a little bit of song improv. You had to do at least 5 accents. You had to play certain characters. Like if you're doing an improv at the farmer's market, we all played the stereotypical old Jewish lady.
Right.
Like, then the audience laughed out of recognition. We weren't saying death to Israel.
Yes. And this is what I've said a million times, which is, to make your point, they would go after Jimmy Kimmel because Jimmy played Oprah and Jimmy played Carl Malone. And I was like, that's not blackface. Yeah. He's doing Oprah.
Yeah.
And they're like, he does, but you think it's okay to do blackface? Mm-hmm. That's a minstrel show.
Yeah.
This is a comedian making fun of Oprah on a sketch show that we do on Comedy Central.
Right.
You think it's okay? Yes, I do think it's okay. It'd be okay for Oprah to play Jimmy Kimmel if she could pull it off.
Yeah.
You know,
but also, like I said, the context.
Or do you think Jimmy hates Oprah?
No, look at the fact that they're friends in real life.
Yeah.
Look at the fact that he did like elaborate film pieces with her. She's been on the show multiple times. Like, that's, we've also lost that. We've also lost A-listers being cool enough to roll with it.
Yes.
Roll with, that used to, like, I would get in fights with Brooke Shields.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't talked to her for years, but she changed my life and I'll always love her. And she would be mad that I would go on Howard. And I would say, Brooke, go on once. He will fall in love with you. Just laugh at everything and just be Brooke Shields. And I would see so many beautiful actresses go on there and show you roll with it. But I'll tell you, I don't like that so many A-listers and famous people, heads of state, whatever, are so precious now that it is... They've lost that, like, oh, it's cool to show I can roll with it. I'll be in on the joke in some way. And that sucks because I do believe as comics we should be punching up. I do think we should make fun of the people that have all the money and all the, you know, all the glory and stuff like that. And also the ones that behave badly and choose to behave that way.
Yeah, I don't really even have a direction to punch. It's just you punch whatever direction you think is funny.
Yeah.
And we'll hopefully we'll land on a laugh. You say Brooke Shields changed your life?
Look, I was like doing guest spots and I, you know, was thrilled to be making 30 grand a year and I was like still temping and stuff. And then I got on that show, Suddenly Susan.
Oh, that's right.
And it was 4 years. It was on between Seinfeld and ER for 3 years.
Right.
It changed my life. I mean, overnight I was like, I got my first special, my second special, my first hour on HBO.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was like a great gig and everybody was nice and it was, you know, it wasn't like the best show, but it was like a great, fun gig.
She was in San Francisco working at a magazine. Am I making that up? Or
yes.
Where was she at?
Yes. And by the way, she had like a $50,000 a month apartment working at the, it was like the LA Weekly, like a free weekly that was artsy focused.
Yeah.
But yeah, she had that. And she was also always dating celebrities because it was stunt casting.
Right.
So like, here's this girl who writes a column for a free weekly, but she's dating like Steve Young.
Right.
And so we also had to get like all the San Francisco friendly, mm-hmm. you know, because of course my relatives thought we filmed it in San Francisco.
Sure.
Now Warner Brothers.
Right. Oh, so that was the game changer with Brooke Shields.
Yes.
Is she a pious person, a serious person?
Well, I believe she's been upset with me for a while because I would talk about her in my specials. And one time I talked about going to her wedding and her mom was there and her mom gave like an epic drunken toast. And I also loved her mom, even though the mom was maybe not the best mom in the world. She was a pisser and she was fun.
Uh-huh.
And I will say that. But I think Brooke was like not thrilled with that portrayal.
In the, making it into the special.
Correct.
Drunken
although she had seen me do it live.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it was okay. But honestly, I never know with my subjects. I call them my subjects.
It's weird. I don't know. I don't have rules per se, but that doesn't mean other people don't have rules around me, and everyone seems to be upset oftentimes, but I'm never upset because I don't really have rules.
And also, I've heard so much dark and nasty stuff at this point that, like, a criticism doesn't bother me.
So I was thinking about Stern, a friend of ours, probably a former friend of mine, David Alan Greer, who went on Stern, basically said I was a white supremacist.
Oh, shit.
And it's like, I don't know why people have to do what they do, but it seems bizarre to, as you get older, not talk to people who you formerly enjoyed for long decades.
Agree.
For no reason whatsoever. But
agree.
Who else do you have on your hit parade of people that don't talk to you anymore?
Well, look, the thing I don't like is it didn't fucking used to be that way.
No.
And so, you know, for example, like, you're going to laugh, but like, you know, I was super close with Suzanne Somers.
Now so, I'm close with Suzanne
you
Somers.
You are?
Yes.
Love her. I love her.
I could bring you to the next party.
Oh, her parties are beyond. I mean, she actually did one for my show, My Life on the D-List, but trust me, she was very instrumental in teaching me how to freaking do a party right because she knows everybody. But like, I went to her house one time, but way back in the day, but that's what I'm saying is everybody came together. She had Vernon Jordan and Sheriff Baca.
Wow.
At the same like 20-person party or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's able to roll in many, many circles, but I used to be in a little bit of a clique, and there was like this other guy who's since passed away named Arnie Copelson, who was like on the board of directors at CBS, and he wrote me a really, really stern letter about how I should apologize to Trump and go to the Oval Office on my hands and knees and beg him to forgive me for being so stupid to him. And like, it was just really, and I thought he was kidding at first. So, of course, I wrote back, like, LOL, like, thinking he was making a joke of the height of, you know, so he wrote, you know, so it wasn't. And so, I don't know, I miss her, you know.
Suzanne.
Yeah, I miss Suzanne. And I also miss, like, kind of being with that crowd because I now know who the Republicans are because I know the ones that have expressed it. But I miss when I kind of didn't know. And, you know, I never meant to be a lefty, like, and culture or something, you know, and it pains me to think that people outside the left might think I wasn't, as you know, I wasn't a political comic at all before this. I was like Kardashians and making fun of my mom and my own life and all this stuff. And so I will say that's what I'm going to do in Vegas. It'll definitely be material that's like Vegas friendly. I've no desire to do political stuff in Vegas at 10 p.m. on a Saturday night.
Right.
I'm just going to try to keep everybody awake. I want to make sure there isn't that one guy in row three whose head I see bobbing because he drank the big gulp. All right. So, you know, yeah, I miss people like that. And I don't want them to think bad, the type of bad things that people kind of expressed about me, or that, like I said, that I'm a jihadist, or that I would ever wish harm on our troops. The military turning on me was tough because, as you know, I went to Iraq and Afghanistan and Uzbekistan and Kuwait. You know,
how did the military turn on you?
Well, first of all, I was working with a place called VetTix, and every single show I have done for the last several years, I give out like either two or four or maybe sometimes eight tickets, and they have a great, by the way, it's a great website, and it's a great organization. And as opposed to just like, I used to just give out tickets to like a base if I was nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got to get my fans. All right. The military guys don't necessarily want to hear about Lindsay Lohan's Hallmark movie.
Right.
And so now it's like only usually the wives or whatever, and they'll go on and they'll order. And so I always give them a shout out at shows and stuff. So they, you know, were not able to work with me anymore, not comfortable. And I just got a ton of like letters and online hate from military folks, and you know, I'm a traitor and stuff like that. And that hurt because it's like, come on, guys. You guys, especially if I went over there, like, you guys kind of know me. And I feel like they liked me for being irreverent.
Yeah.
But then it's like, this was like obviously just a bridge too far.
Mike August always says you just can't get enough. He'll say can't get enough points in the woke bank. Like, you could do everything your whole career, and then it's one slip up something,
I'm not woke
and
enough.
They will turn on you.
Yes.
Like you cannot get any goodwill.
The wokey's turned on me, and I'm a wokey.
Yes, it's kind of a weird thing that, but either side of the aisle, you know, you go, you travel abroad, you put your life at risk, you do it for free,
yeah.
You do these multiple trips in and out of wherever Jamie Farr's character came from. And then you do something and they all just turn on you. Like, you can't accrue points.
Yeah.
You can't have a nest egg
right.
of goodwill. The left does it a lot. Like,
that's
like
what
these
hurts.
People are volunteering
but
and down
me.
With the cause and down with the organization and marching with the women and marching with the blacks.
Boycott.
And marching. And then the second something happens, like, do I get to cash in some of my points
no.
that I've accrued?
Boycott Kathy Griffin. No.
It's a sub sandwich shop, and you never get your card stamped.
It's the SV Bank of comedy.
Right. No, we just declare bankruptcy, and you're out. And it's,
but nobody bailed me out.
I know. The FDIC is nowhere to be found.
I know.
And it's sad.
Oh.
And also, it's like, who's more down with the cause than you? It's so wild. And it's like they'll turn on Bill Maher in a second. It's
yeah.
like all Bill Maher said was, you shouldn't be fat. You're
yeah.
going to get COVID. You know what I mean? Like, why are you turning on him? It's like, it's bizarre to me.
I know. And it happens lightning fast. I will say, though, the good thing is it is way better when someone has some kind of platform. Like the fact that Bill can address it every
mm-hmm.
week, Jimmy can address it. Although
yes.
the good thing is I don't think Jimmy's going to get in trouble for anything from the Oscars. I mean,
no.
I haven't heard any outrage yet, but they would really have to reach. I mean, he walked the line.
Yes.
He really, I thought his handling of the slap joke was perfect. Mentioned
mm-hmm.
it a couple times, got in and out. He got two groans, but I feel like they weren't real groans. They were kind mm-hmm. of like, we have to go, wah, wah. But I don't know. He could get in trouble. This could be wrong. 8 hours from now, he could be canceled.
I thought he did an excellent job as well. I know you came in here, you were talking about a Man Show bit.
Well, I was talking about it because you don't even remember, apparently.
I don't remember all the Man Show bits.
Oh, good for
you. It was a sitcom.
Yeah. It was a talking
explain
penis,
what you remember
Adam.
From it.
No, this is, don't gaslight me. Is that what I remember? It was real. It happened and it mattered.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I was a guest on the Man Show and, you and Jimmy were, I can't remember the setting, but Jimmy was a live penis. His character was an actual penis and not like inspired by a penis. He was wearing a not very expensive penis costume with just his face sticking out.
Yeah.
Which most penises hopefully don't have.
I now have recollections
Thank
of it
you.
Because he said it was so hot inside my penis outfit.
Yeah, it was steamy.
Do we
it was
have,
steamy in the penis.
I now. All right, we'll play 30 seconds
Thank
of it.
Thank you.
We are back with more Man Show, and as you probably know, a lot of people watch this show every week.
Yes, bare breasts and farting have proven to be very popular. And because of that, we keep getting asked to do a sitcom, and normally we say no, but the network came to us with an idea that was so good, we just couldn't pass it up.
This is a clip from our brand new show, and I think you're going to like it. Prima Donna Adam Carolla said so, all right? You tell him. I don't care. Yeah, that's right. Tell him.
How many is that?
What do you care? You're not my mommy.
No, I'm your penis, and your drinking affects me.
Oh, hey! Hey, Kathy Griffin!
Adam! Oh, see?
Okay.
Kathy, I want to introduce you to my penis. Penis, this is Kathy. Kathy Penis.
Yeah, we've already met.
You two know each other?
Yeah. Remember that acting workshop about 10 years ago?
Yeah! You come here alone? Did you come with somebody?
No, I came with one of my girlfriends, but she left already.
Oh, that's a shame. Hey, do you need a ride home?
Yeah, that'd be great. Let me get my purse.
Okay. Good times.
What the hell are you doing?
Listen, don't play stupid, buddy. This is the part where we get laid. Remember?
All right. Yeah, we don't need to see the whole thing. I've never thought about that bit in a million years.
Well,
I forgot
it stayed with me, Adam.
I've evidently made an impression.
Yes, you did.
But it had a Three's Company-esque opening.
It was wacky. And first of all, it had all the bells and whistles. It was wacky. It was also a very special episode because they were dealing with their drinking problem.
Yeah.
It had a stunt casting with Kathy Griffin with a lot of hair extensions. I'll tell you that. I can see him right now. And then it also had hope. Because I thought when you went to commercial, it was kind of hopeful.
I wonder if I could pitch that to Jimmy fresh off hosting the Oscars. You know,
wait, so you think he also forgot it? And so he would just forget that you guys already did
no,
it?
No, I'm going to use the word resurrect.
Okay.
That bit. Subtle. And see if he wouldn't mind donning the old penis costume one more time.
Yeah.
And I get it. You're fresh off the Oscars.
Right. But let's put, how about some coins in the comedy bank? Forget the woke bank this week, honey.
Yeah.
How about the comedy
bank?
Funny. Remember us?
This is good stuff.
Right.
Yeah. He did say to me once, he goes, there's only one comedian who can just go out there like without an act and be funny. And he goes, that's you. And then he goes, oh, and Kathy Griffin. He said that. It's like the greatest compliment.
Oh, my God. Okay, do you remember when we hosted Billboard Music Awards together?
Yes.
Please tell me you remember some of those stories.
You were in the penis outfit.
No, I wasn't.
I thought you were in a penis outfit.
Maybe I was.
I remember... You and I hosted it together.
Yes.
It was in Vegas.
Yes.
And
at the giant, like, 10,000 MGM arena.
Right.
There we are.
Right. And Blink 182 ran naked through the crowd at the opening.
And it's a live show.
And it's a live show.
Right.
Yes.
So I guess they pixelated or something, or maybe they went to like barcode.
They had these like boards hanging in front of them. Your host.
Yeah.
That's me on Tom's penis, not an outfit.
I do remember this.
But does it feel like a different life?
Are you kidding? You have to have lived and done comedy in the 90s and the aughts to understand it. Like, this was a normal day that ended in a Y in the 90s.
Right.
With big stars doing this stuff constantly.
And you, if you wanted, you could convince me, without this picture we're looking at right now, you could sit here and convince me that we never did that show together, and I would believe you.
Happened to you? What about our work?
I don't know what happened
to my... What about the craft?
I blocked out the whole penis sitcom thing.
What? And now Blink 182, it's got, one of them has this picture over his exact penis and you've got an issue?
It's crazy.
Why are you anti-penis?
I remember.
Or at least anti-giant fake stuffed penis.
It's like 10,000 people in this venue.
Yeah.
And I remember them going, we're doing it live. And I was like, I'm fine with that. You were
right.
Fine with it,
love it.
Too. I love it. I like it live.
Yeah,
it,
but I would get in trouble. I did 3 years in a row. And I, by the way, here's the co-hosts. 1 year was you, Kathy Griffin and Adam Carolla. 1 year, Kathy Griffin and Andy Dick.
Mm.
1 year, Kathy Griffin and the entire band NSYNC.
Really?
So when I tell you about the 90s and the 2000s, you have to understand, we all worked with all these other kooks, whether we liked it or not. Like, comedy and music were coming together in a way that they like don't now. Musicians all wanted to show they had a sense of humor. Comics wanted to go on MTV. Yes, it was a different life.
Well, I'm glad you carved out a little time to come here and recap and recoup.
So we're not going to Lake Elsinore.
To free Andy Dick?
Yeah. Like free Britney?
I will go to Lake Elsinore and free Andy Dick, but somewhere on the way back, we got to stop by Pahrumph and get Heidi Fleiss.
Done and done. How does tomorrow look?
Tomorrow looks good.
Okay.
Today looks better.
Okay. We are Lake Elsinore bound, honey.
All right. Gas up the van.
All right.
Kathy Griffin. KathyGriffin.com is where you go. And, of course, June 17th, the Mirage in Las Vegas. Me, Naples, Florida, off the hook coming up March 14th. Sorry, March 24th and 25th. Just go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. And Kathy, man, don't be a stranger. Come back whenever you want.
Look at
this
all those
awesome.
Dates you have.
I know.
Look at this man working for the money. Good for you.
Work hard for my money.
All right.
Kathy Griffin, delight. Thank you so much.
My delight.
Till next time, Adam Carolla, Kathy Griffin. Say it. Mahalo.
Get yourself a copy of Adam's latest book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available everywhere. Finer books are sold. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. The Adam Carolla Show is recorded using Rode microphones. And our music is provided by Extreme Music. For tickets, info, merch, and more, go to AdamCarolla.com.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.